Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
And Megan said something to me that shocked me, floored me, caught me by surprise. She said, you know, I think I would really like to speak to our people on Mother's Day. And so she did, and God used her a great way. So the last several years, Mother's Day has been kind of been her day. And every time she shared the word, she's always had a word from the Lord for our people. I know she's got a word for you today. I know you see her up here smiling behind the keyboard. I know you think that she's always full of joy. She always has a great attitude. You think she's always just wonderful. And I just tell you, after being married to her for almost 20 years, she is. She really is the real deal. And it's not perfect, but she's 99.9% of the way there. And I love her. And I know you do too. Would you make welcome my wife, Megan Sanders, to the pulpit today? Megan, love you.
I'll have to pay him afterwards for that. The good attitude part. Not always. Well, happy Mother's Day. I know we've said it several times, but happy Mother's Day to all you mamas out there. I've entitled today's message, One Day Closer. And I just want to share kind of our testimony of the journey that it took for us to have our two beautiful girls. It was not an easy journey. It was a tough journey, but I learned so much about my Heavenly Father through that. So the reason that this is titled One Day Closer is because I had a really good friend of mine who said, Megan, every day that passes while you're waiting, you're one day closer. What an amazing way to look at life, as opposed to, well, that's one more day I didn't get what I wanted. But you're one day closer to that miracle. You're one day closer to that provision. And so that's why I've entitled it One Day Closer. And I pray that today is just encouraging to you, that it is something that just reminds you of how faithful God is to His Word, that time doesn't change His faithfulness. If you have been waiting for years and years and years and years, His faithfulness has remained the same from start to finish. Our questions don't threaten Him. Aren't you grateful for that? Because don't you know that I had a ton of questions during the long journey that we took. Lots of questions. And I asked Him and I got some answers. And sometimes I didn't get an answer. Sometimes He doesn't tell us why things are happening the way they're happening. But His goodness doesn't depend on our situations either. And I'm grateful for that. So the story of us, and I'm talking about me and Greg, is one of my very favorite stories. We met in August of 1997. And I think we've got a picture of us. He was so excited about these pictures. Not really. And they actually had to be approved before I put them up here. But this was, we were dating in college. And I think I'd gone on a family trip with them to Branson. And this is one of the pictures. We're just young little kids. And the next picture is of our wedding day. Look at that handsome guy. Isn't he handsome? And the next picture is one of our anniversaries. I don't know where or when that was. And the next picture, this is, like, I take almost every picture goofy. I like goofy pictures. I've always liked goofy pictures. Greg doesn't like goofy pictures. And so to have one of him being goofy, I had to share it with you all so you could see that he does have a sense of goofiness. And then the last one is after 10 years of marriage. The joy of after 10 years of marriage, this is what it'll do to you. No, seriously, it was our 10-year anniversary. We were furniture shopping, and we wanted to do that picture. We're just like misery, and so that's not really how we are, but we thought that was funny. So we met in August of 97, and we got married in 2000. We both began our ministry on the same exact day. And I love that, because he was prayed over and commissioned to be the youth pastor on the same day that I was prayed over and commissioned to be the worship leader. So in our lives, we have never done ministry without each other. So I can't imagine ever doing ministry. You are the person that I'd want to do it with all over again. And I know, oh, y'all be... Greg is a level-headed, balanced guy. I tend to have a lot of ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys, and he is just as calm can be. What you see is who he is all the time. I sometimes tend to talk or to act before I think, and Greg is very calculated and very planned. If you've ever had a conversation with him, you know this. The man doesn't say any word that he has not carefully thought and planned and made sure that that's where it goes. And it might take a long time to hear the story, but he doesn't regret a lot of what he says, so I have a lot of respect for him. In 2002, we were youth pastoring in Camden. We'd been married for 2 years, and we felt that God was moving us to maybe start a family. Both very excited. We were young. We would have been, 20, 21? We were babies back then. And I was really excited. I can't say that I just always dreamed that I'd be a mom, that like that was my one thing I wanted to do in life, but I knew I really wanted to be a mom. I had a lot of baby dolls growing up, and the best one I had, his name was Caldwell Jenkins, and I named him myself. Isn't that an awesome name? Anyone wants a baby who's like needing a baby name? Caldwell Jenkins is a great name. So we very privately struggled, though, for the next 13 years with infertility. And it's a very dark and lonely journey because you do feel like you're all alone. I was embarrassed because I felt like I was broken. And how many of you know that the enemy will do whatever that he can do to shine a light on your inadequacies and to shine a light on the fact that, yeah, you're not worthy. God's not going to do this for you, and that you are stuck and you're never going to go anywhere. I mean, he just shines that big spotlight on all of those. And so my first point today is that for every lie of the enemy, God has a truth. Amen. We could go home right now, because that right there, the enemy is, if you're sensing doubt, if you're sensing unforgiveness, that's just the voice of the enemy. And God has a truth to counter that. So it might seem like all you hear of the enemy's lies, but there are truths that God has to encounter those lies. So one of the lies that the enemy loves to tell us, and what he told me during the entire infertility journey, was that God will never do for you what he has done for others. Has anybody else ever heard that lie? He did it for them, but he's not going to do it for you. You don't deserve it. You haven't done anything for him to give you that. And so those are lies. But the truth, Deuteronomy 7, verse number 9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. He is faithful. He's faithful. And a lie of the enemy wants to tell you that he's not, and that he can't be trusted, and that he's not going to do for you what he's done for other people. And that's a lie. God, his ability, his capability, we know, is right on target. He can't mess up. He always follows through on his word. Lie number two is that you are alone in your struggles and your hardships. Isolation is something that can happen while you're waiting for something to happen. I almost think of like a holding pattern, and that's how I felt for 13 years of just, you hurry up and wait, and it does feel alone, because to me, when you're going to start a family and how you're going to start a family is a private part of your life. And we tried to keep it as private as we could, but in that need to keep people kind of out of the loop, we isolated ourselves. But we were always very encouraged by the people around us who knew that we were struggling with that. But the enemy wants us to believe that we are alone in our struggles and our hardships. And the truth that God has to counter that is Psalm 94:14, and it says, "The Lord will not reject his people. He will not abandon his special possession." And that's you. And that's me. We are his special possession. He paid the price. He bought us. And he's not going to reject us. For us, disappointment was just around every corner. It seemed like medicines, rounds and rounds and rounds and rounds of medicines. Took pills. I gave myself shots. And there was a lot of hormones, bless Greg's heart, that went on during that. And it just, everything, that I had some painful procedures done and nothing worked. Every single time it was, well, this didn't work, but now we'll try this. And it's draining emotionally to go through that because you are so invested, but you're invested with your emotions. You're invested with your time. You have to go up there no matter what is going on. We missed out part of a vacation because we had to go and get certain numbers done before we, I mean, it's just time consuming, and it consumes your pocketbook. Just every area, it's a tough journey to walk through. And the entire time, with every unsuccessful procedure, I just felt less and less like it was ever going to happen. And the enemy just whispered doubt. He doesn't have to yell it. He can just kind of whisper those little small doubts. And I have to admit, I didn't always get it right. Sometimes I listened to it, and sometimes I was just sure it was never going to happen. And then other times I had the faith to believe for it, but I didn't get it right every time. But God was with me through all of those feelings and all of those emotions. In 2009, so this is 7 years after we've decided we were going to start a family, I was about to go for another round of medication, and they always make sure that you take a pregnancy test to make sure that you're not pregnant, even though the last round we did, we were told absolutely did not work. No, you know, not a big deal. We're going to start the next round. And so I had gotten pretty sarcastic. That's kind of how I deal with disappointment, is sarcasm. And so I was really sarcastic anytime we'd have to take a pregnancy test. We're like, okay, we've got to, you know, buy stock in these things, because it was just a constant reminder. There's just a constant reminder of what I didn't have. And that was hard. But so I took the pregnancy test, and I saw like this different line on this pregnancy test I'd never seen before, and I thought, this one must be broken. So I tried another one. I showed Greg, and I remember I said, is this what you think it means? And he said, I think that's what it means. And so we found out that we were pregnant, very excited. And I felt like, you know, God just kind of said it didn't work, but I did. And so we went full force. We're ready for this, excited. It's about time. We had told a few people around us, just our family and our friends, and we went and had an ultrasound done, and they saw a little bit of a heartbeat, but not a strong enough one that they felt that, that things were okay. So we had to go back over and over and over. And with each time they said, yeah, we see a heartbeat, but we just don't think it's probably going to be strong enough. And, I won't forget that afternoon that I knew that I was having a miscarriage. And, that was probably, in the whole grand scheme of things, the darkest time for me. I remember calling my mom and telling her, and I couldn't even say, she knew, I called her, and I couldn't even say the words. And you were somewhere in a public place, and I remember you just cried with me, because it was just, that's what I needed. I didn't need to hear any word that God is, like, I knew he was faithful. My heart and my head were constantly battling, but that was a really dark time. And I feel, and I just want to be honest with how I felt, and I don't know if any of you have ever felt this way before, but I felt like God had dangled something in front of me and teased me with it and said, here it is, nope, just kidding, here it is, nope, just kidding. And I want you to know that I know that's not who my Heavenly Father is. I know he loves me. I know that he is good and he does good things. But in the moment, it didn't feel like it. And I felt abandoned. I knew that my assessment was wrong, but that's just how I felt. And the enemy was as close as I let him be. When you are tired, worn out physically, emotionally, spiritually, sometimes you let your guard down. And the enemy would just whisper things. You can't trust him. That God's not going to give you, you know, you're not going to really be a good mom. And I was too messed up. I wasn't good enough. And that wasn't going to happen. And so my second point is, for every doubt of the enemy, that there is an assurance from God. So the accuser went to work on me, but those are his tactics. That's what he does. You remember in Matthew chapter 4, when he was talking to Jesus, the Son of God, and he says, if you're the Son of God, or if you will bow down and worship me, if can be a powerful word when the accuser uses it. If he says, if you are only good enough, if you hear that, that's not from God. If you could just get it together, I might bless you. If you weren't so messed up, if God really loved you, if God was really as good as he claims, and all of these ifs, he was tempting me to distrust our Heavenly Father. And if he tempted Jesus, you better believe that he's going to tempt us. I mean, he had to know that he wasn't going to get anywhere with Jesus. But if he tempted him, he's going to tempt us. I knew the truth, but I did feel abandoned. My heart and my mind were at war. I knew God loved me, but I felt a sense of betrayal. And that's just the honest truth. I just felt betrayed. I doubted, but God kept speaking to me and loving me. The next scripture on the wall, Jonah 2:7, when I had lost all hope. And I'm going to tell you, I was there. I had lost hope. I didn't think it was going to happen. It seemed to be happening for every other person but me. And that is that's a hard place to be. How many of you have experienced that before, when you are waiting for God to do something and it seems like God is doing it for everyone but you? It says, when I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord, and my earnest prayer went to you in your holy temple. My faith was shaken, but God remained faithful. Don't you love that about him? That even when we waver in our faith, he remains constant in his. I'm so grateful for that. He was patient with me while I was learning to respond to his timing. And it's so cliche, and in the middle of it, if somebody had told me his timing is perfect, I might have wanted to deck them. Because it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it. But I had to know that I know that God said he was going to provide for us, and that if he said it, that he's going to do it. And Lamentations 3:25-26, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I want to just take this and make a point that it is good to sit quietly with the Lord. I don't like silence. I want to fill it up with talking. Greg is fine to sit in silence. I think he's mad at me. If we're not talking 24/7, I feel like he's mad at me. I don't like silence. And I'm almost that way sometimes when I'm praying. I feel like I need to be the one just telling all of these things. And there's something to be said for resting and sitting quietly in his presence and just letting him minister hope, letting him minister to you. He surrounded us with people who strengthened us and challenged our faith. I got so many gifts from so many precious people along the way. Somebody gave us a baby blanket. Somebody gave us a baby book that you can write in. Just a pair of baby shoes. And the funny thing is, it was always all girl stuff. So God knew. But it was just a reminder. They would say, God told me to get this for you. I don't know why, but God just told me to give this to you. And it was very encouraging to me to know that I had people praying for me. So if you know someone who is going through something, ask the Holy Spirit what you can do to encourage them. We are family. We need each other. We need for us to notice that somebody is struggling, and what can we do to help? What can we do to minister? Because there are people, if I hadn't had those people, it would have been very difficult. It would have been even more difficult than it was. So one other thing that God taught me through this, I've sensed that God has audibly said some things to me just once or twice. I don't get it a lot, but I was praying one night by myself, and I just said, God, is it just that you don't want me to be happy? I mean, because this is going to make me happy. If I can be a mom, I'll be happy. And I sensed the Holy Spirit said it as clear as he possibly could, that he said, don't let things that bring you joy become your joy. That's my job. And I was like, oh, ouch. That kind of hurt. Because the things that bring us joy can't be our joy. He is our joy. If he is our joy, then everything else can be crazy and messed up, but we can stand and have joy because he is our joy. In September of 2014, God brought a young lady into our lives through somebody that I worked with, and she was looking for a couple to adopt her baby. We met with her, and the funny thing is that she had actually decided on another family. I think in Texas. They lived in Texas, and she had decided on another family. And we met with her and the birth father, and we prayed with them, and she just immediately said, "You guys are the ones that we want to adopt our little girl." And so it was exciting. It was nerve-wracking. When you are waiting to adopt at any time, that birth mother can say, I can't do this. I don't want to part with our baby. And so there's this level of expectancy that you can't help but have. And then there's also reservation of not wanting to put it all out there and have your heart right on the line. So I want to interject that I got to go to through some ultrasounds with her. She let me be involved with her. And that was one of the most phenomenal things, because for the first time in my life, I had seen life in a womb, and I'd never gotten to see that. And I'd never said to anybody, I don't even think I told you that I wanted to see that. I'd only seen just barrenness. And through this birth mother, she let me see what life looked like. And that was just a little detail. God cares about those details, about those little desires that you have in your heart. They're not lost on him. So I was able to be front and center for Stella's delivery. I was the first person to hold her, and it was the most, I don't even think I remember what she looked like, because I couldn't see it through the tears, but I just remember that the joy that came from that answered prayer. And so after over a decade of desiring a child, here comes Stella Marie. And I know y'all know what she looks like, but y'all, I mean, any chance I get, look how tiny she was. She was the tiniest little baby. This was probably a week after she'd been born. The next one, I know, y'all can do that louder if you want to. Just do a collective, aw. And then there she is. Isn't that an amazing story? And it would be awesome if it ended there, but we all know the rest of the story. It didn't end there. In October of 2017, we made the decision to follow God's calling on our life and to come here to the assembly in Cabot. And any big decision that you have, there's a lot of doubts that come with it. Did I really hear from God? Are we really being obedient? Is this really where we're supposed to go? And we had some doubts, because it was such a big decision. We were excited to come. We were scared to leave. We were happy to come, but we were sad to leave. We were ready to go, but we wanted to stay. Just a lot of emotions going on. And I was packing up our kitchen about 2 weeks before we moved, and I got a message on my phone from a lady who was having a baby within the month and wanted to give her baby up for adoption. And she had seen pictures of us, and she had heard about us. Camden is a small town. She'd heard about us, and she wanted us to adopt her baby. And so the key was that she did not want whoever adopted her baby to live in Camden. Not a problem. We were coming here. And so we felt like that was just an amazing confirmation of God's call in our life. And so it was unexpected, but it was sudden. And after all those years of waiting and waiting and waiting, I think God kind of has a sense of humor. He's just, okay, now here it is. We met with a lawyer. We started the process all while we were trying to sell our house, find a house to rent here, and move in. And it was just a whirlwind. And we were here for 13 days. Wasn't it 13 days? I think it was about 13, maybe less. When we received the call that Nora was being born. And we weren't expecting it to be that soon. And we were actually in the middle of having our home study done when they called, and so we had to finish that up, and we rushed down. And so y'all know I'm going to show some pictures of Nora. There's sweet Nora. She was born in November. And the next picture, I love this one. This is when Stella first met Nora. So amazing. And then this was at when we adopted her, our adoption hearing. And then y'all see her everywhere, those cheeks. They're awesome. But Every time I hold the girls, I am holding an answer to a promise. And let me just tell you that adoption was not God's plan B for us. I have a lot of people who think, you know, you couldn't have your own, so this. I don't believe that. Adoption was God's plan all along. We just didn't know it. And the thing is that I, knowing now what I know, I wouldn't trade any of that. Any of that experience, I would not trade it for anything. Because I found out who God was. I wouldn't have known his provision if I hadn't experienced some famine. I wouldn't have known his light if I hadn't have experienced some darkness. And I wouldn't have known his perfect timing if he had given me what I wanted when I wanted it. So I just want to remind you today. I say this, I think, every time I talk, but you are on God's radar. You may feel like you are living Groundhog's Day. You know, where you wake up and it's the same song, it's the same thing, and it never changes. But even in that, God is moving, and God is doing things, and he is bringing about his perfect timing. And all we have to do is trust. And so the third point is that it is always worth the wait. I would have waited if I had known. If I had known what it was going to be like, I would have waited even more. And I just want to remind you that it's worth the wait, whatever it is that you're waiting for. Because I really do believe that everybody is waiting for something. Whether you're waiting for a son or a daughter to come home to Jesus. Whether you're waiting for a miracle of healing in your body. Whatever it is, if you're waiting for God to give you a child. I meant to look up the statistics of infertility and how many people it affects, but it is a lot more than you would ever know. And through that, God has given me the opportunity to minister hope and to minister. Even before the girls came, I'll never forget, I had somebody call me and say, they were going through that. They said, how do I get through this? What did you do? And I remember I just told them and I prayed with them and I hung up the phone and like I immediately broke. And this was before we ever knew about the girls. But I sensed that God said to me, out of your pain is where that ministry is going to be birthed. And so there was purpose in that pain. So don't discount what you went through. And so that is my word of encouragement. I want to pray with you. God, I thank you for your perfect timing. God, even while it doesn't seem perfect in the moment, you know what we need. And you know when we need it. It doesn't have to make sense to us. We trust you. Just say that right now. Say, God, I trust you. Even when I don't understand. God, you are constantly working on our behalf, even when we don't see it. I thank you that you are always working everything for good. Thank you for your sustaining grace, your sustaining power through difficult times. And I'm grateful that with each passing day, we are one day closer to that miracle. God, I don't believe that you just throw your plans for us together, but you carefully plan with precision and with thoughtful decisions. I pray that you would just encourage every single person in this room today. That they would know that you are good no matter what. Help us to trust you. Help us to listen to your voice and not the lies of the enemy. Pray that your joy would be our strength. And that you would help us to rest in you. Help us to be still and know that you aren't withholding things from us because we're not good enough or we don't have it all together, God, but you are waiting for the right time to bless us with whatever it is we're waiting for. God, you know when the perfect timing is. God, we love you. We thank you. And everyone said, amen.